Quanto mais você ouve podcasts, mais aprende sobre o mundo. É a prova de que a experiência é o que nos faz mais fortes. E esse é também o princípio da Ford, para criar as picapes com DNA raça forte, que valorizam cada quilômetro rodado e que constroem um verdadeiro legado. Essa é a nossa força. Paz no trânsito começa por você.
Welcome to the Code Newbie Podcast, where we talk to people on their coding journey in hopes of helping you on yours. I'm your host, Saran, and before we kick off the show, I want to tell you about our incredible sponsors. I'm your host, Saran, and today's guest is Kinsey Ann Durham. She's a developer, an organizer within the tech community, a tech speaker, CEO of an international organization called Kubmo. Kinsey, do you want to say hi?
Hi, thank you so much for having me on the show.
So you're involved in the tech community in so many different ways. You're a speaker, an organizer, a founder, a teacher at one point, and a developer. But you only started coding about 2 years ago. What were you doing before that?
Yeah, so I originally got my degree from college from CU Boulder as an advertising major. So I was working in the advertising industry here in Colorado. You know, it was great, but it wasn't for me. I really needed a change, and I'm so glad that I found this path.
So from advertising, you went into programming. What got you interested in code?
Yeah, so the first thing I did was attend a Women Who Code meetup, and it was the first one that they ever had in Denver. And I went, and it was awesome. I went with two of my best friends, and it was definitely way over my head, but it definitely piqued my interest. So I signed up for a Rails Bridge workshop, and that workshop changed my life.
Yeah, tell us a bit about Rails Bridge.
Yeah, Rails Bridge is awesome. It's for people, primarily women, who want to either learn how to write code or want to level up in their code writing. So they have workshops all over the country. They've also had them internationally, which is awesome. And you go, you set a lot, you know, sometimes the hardest part is setting your machine up. So you go on a Friday night and you set your machine up in something called InstallFest. And then Saturday all day, you write code, you build your own Rails application and deploy it on Heroku. And one day you work in small groups with a TA, and it was awesome. And it really did change my life. I remember saying after that workshop that I was going to become a developer. So, and that's what happened.
So you did the workshop, you made your first Rails app. Congratulations. I know I'm 2 years too late, but congratulations. What happened next? What did you use to continue learning how to code?
Yes, it definitely wasn't just one weekend workshop. I attended a lot of them. But I also worked with mentors outside of work. So I, you know, was still working full time, but I would meet with mentors who were willing to help me after work and on the weekends, and just started doing it on my own. I did not go to like a code school or a boot camp. I was definitely self-taught. But looking back, I think I probably would have done a more structured program. But, you know, being self-taught and not doing one of those, it seemed to work out for me.
So I want to talk about something else that you do that I wish more people did, especially people who are newer to programming, which is that you speak a lot. Your first talk was actually in Paris, which is even more impressive because there's a new country as well as, you know, you talking. So what was that like?
The very first tech talk that I gave was the scariest thing I've ever done, probably. My first time speaking was in Paris at a conference called .RB, and it was a single track conference, and it was in this huge theater. And I was speaking with people like Steve Klabnik and Eric Michaels Ober and Terrence Lee, like all these really big Ruby celebrities in the community. And it was really, really intimidating. It was also really embarrassing because I was wearing a dress, and you couldn't hook the mic onto my dress. So I had to stand behind this podium different than anyone else because I couldn't wear the microphone. You know, small things that you don't really think about giving your first talk. It was definitely intimidating, but it was so fun. I really liked the nervous rush right before going on stage. The talk that I was giving wasn't as well received in Paris as it was in, you know, the US or in Australia. So it was definitely interesting to see the different reactions to my talk in different parts of the world and in different cultures.
So what topic was your talk on?
My talk was about alternative paths to becoming a software engineer. A lot of times these conferences, it's people who are very, very advanced senior developers who have tons of years of experience. And I was coming in with very little experience and bringing a different perspective. And yeah, and I think just having that different perspective is what made it interesting. A lot of people in the industry are computer science graduates. And my talk was about, hey, there are all these other ways to becoming a developer. And it's not necessarily getting a four-year computer science degree. And I also talked a lot about diversity and how computer science programs pose a lot of barriers to getting into the industry.
You know, people would tell me all the time that me being new was not a bad thing for the same reason that you're saying, which is that I have a different perspective and I have a different outlook. And I always thought that that was something that people said just to be nice and make me feel less of an imposter. But I think I've heard it enough times from enough people that I actually believe it now. And I think it really is true that having a different perspective as a newcomer, especially if you're a newcomer from a different industry, in your case, advertising, that actually is very valuable to the community as a whole.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I definitely didn't go up there and say, hey, you know, I'm in a super experienced developers and I'm going to teach you about something in the Ruby language that no one knows about. I really wanted to bring a different perspective that I was obviously familiar with being a beginner.
So walk us through that process. How did you hear about the conference? How did you pick a topic? How did you prepare for it?
Yeah, I did the CFP on a whim. I was like, oh, this is not going to get in, but I just did it and submitted it without even really thinking, just kind of jumping right in. And I was really fortunate because it got accepted to a bunch of different conferences all over the world. Some of them I wasn't able to make it, but it was still really cool. And as far as preparing for the talk, I worked with a lot of people, Katrina Owen, who is an awesome conference speaker, Ben Orenstein, he would listen to my talk over Skype. What I did is I actually wrote a paper, like you would do in college or high school, with a thesis statement and having three supporting arguments that I then turned into my conference talk.
I completely understand. When I submitted my talk for RailsConf, I was very surprised at how academic it was, and it definitely felt like a college paper.
Yeah, I was the same way. I wrote an outline of what I wanted to talk about, and I was like, wait, I just basically wrote an outline for like a thesis.
So it sounds like mentorship was a huge part of your journey, both in your learning and even now. How do you get mentors, especially if you're not in a boot camp or in a formal program? How do you access those people?
Go to meetups, meet people in the community. You know, this community is awesome in that there's literally a tech meetup every night. I know that's true in like San Francisco, New York, even here in Denver it is. And just meeting people in the community, and everyone is so open and so nice and just asking to grab coffee and being super gracious. And I know that they would be, most people are willing to give, you know, an hour, a couple hours a week to mentoring, mentoring developers who, or budding developers.
So I try to get every developer I know to speak because I think it's just such a great experience. Even the act of submitting a CFP, whether or not it gets picked, is just a really great learning opportunity. But the response that I get is usually, one, I don't know what to talk about, or two, I'm too new and I'm not worthy of speaking. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, I think somebody obviously, or most people have something that they're passionate about in this community or something that they feel like they can share with others. Especially I think that of beginners, because like I said, a lot of the talks are really geared towards advanced developers. And I'm really excited because big conferences like RubyConf this year has a beginner's track. So I'm really, really excited about that. And as far as, you know, not having enough experience or not having confidence to speak, I think that should be the opposite, and that you should be excited and confident about bringing a whole new perspective to the industry that greatly lacks a lot of diversity most of the time.
So I love hearing about social good projects, and I want to talk to you about two things that you're involved in. The first is Women Who Code. Tell us a little bit about Women Who Code. What is that organization?
Yeah, Women Who Code is an awesome organization. I'm working with them here in Colorado, doing the meetups for Denver and Boulder. And it's been awesome to be involved with that. We have study groups as well. The goal of the organization is to get 1 million women in tech by, I'm not sure exactly sure of the date, but I believe next year. So it's a pretty lofty goal, but I think it's pretty cool.
So why is that mission important? Why is it important to get more women in technology?
I think it's important just because of diversity. And I did a ton of research for my conference talk, actually talking about the importance of diversity on teams. And also women were the first people to, you know, program computers, and the gender ratio is so bad. I was reading a paper the other day that said that 1.5% of open source contributors are women. So really passionate about that. And there have been times where, because of my gender, I've been told that I can't do something or that I should be a secretary, that I can't write code. So it's really important to me that we change that.
So even when we talk about the category of women, there's still a lot of diversity within that, right? There's race, there's education level, socioeconomic status. And as an organizer, how do you make sure that the women in tech movement includes all women and not just, for example, upper middle class, white, college educated women?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point and a really good question. I also say in my talk about how we really need to work on expanding these outreach programs, like I mentioned, RailsBridge, even Women Who Code, into rural areas, areas where, you know, there aren't people in the tech industry, because even getting more women into the tech industry is great, but most of those women that are coming in now are from, you know, middle class, upper middle class, Caucasian. So it's really important to focus on bringing in all types of diversity. So race and socioeconomic status, I think, are just as important as gender.
So I think it's pretty easy to get women involved in the women in tech movement because it's about us. But how do you get everyone else to care, right? How do you get men involved?
Yeah, I think that's also a really good question. I say personally, I would love to see a day where groups like Women Who Code don't exist. I think that should be the goal of, you know, women's organizations in the tech community, where we can have a day that we are equal and they don't need to exist. But I think it's really important to, you know, not be like, oh, men, we don't need them, but they're a really big part of this movement too. Otherwise, we're not going to get anywhere and just continue to create more separation and more disparity in gender balance.
So it's not just women in Colorado who you work with and you help. You're also CEO and developer of Kubmo, a support network for entrepreneurial women around the world. And I believe it's based in Kenya. Is that right?
Yes, it is. Unfortunately, we've had to make some changes as far as location goes. Kenya has just become too dangerous for us to go to. A team that we were working with out there recently had to come home because of the dangers. So we are not able to work there anymore, which is we're super disappointed about.
So where's the next place going to be? Do you know?
Yes, we are hoping South America, specifically Peru. We are starting to talk with an awesome organization there and hoping to build them an awesome platform to help their female entrepreneurs to continue to excel and grow and communicate.
So tell us a little bit about the program.
So Kubmo started as a workshop in Kenya where we supplied a group of women that applied and got into the program with smartphones. And they attended a week training, and we trained them not only how to use the smartphones, but also how to start and grow their own small businesses. So our goal was to empower these women to become financially independent. So, and now we've sort of pivoted, and we're working on more building software for organizations that are doing this. That there will be another Kubmo workshop in Kenya this summer or this year. And so we're super excited about that.
So the ideas they're working on are tech-based. Is that right?
No, not necessarily. More women entrepreneurs. So using a technology for accepting payments, for marketing, for advertising, for financial planning, all of that sort of thing.
How do you start a program for a group of women you've never met from halfway across the world? What's the first step in making that happen?
The first part was definitely just reaching out and talking to women in Kenya. I researched all the most popular Facebook pages in Kenya and started going through all of their likes and friending every single woman that I could find. Some of them taught me how to speak their language. Some of them would tell me all about their lives and daily life there, what they ate, their favorite music. So it was really, really interesting. They don't have access to internet, but they all have SMS phones and they can Facebook message through that. So like text message, basic text message. And that's how we were able to communicate with them, which was super interesting.
There's a lot of conversation on how important it is to learn to code as a founder of a company or organization. Some say if you don't know how to code, even a little bit, you can't possibly understand your product and you wouldn't be as effective a leader. And others say, well, that's why you have a CTO or you hire developers. As CEO, how different would it be to run this organization if you were not a programmer?
I think it's really, really empowering and important to have technical skills as a founder. That was one of the main reasons that I started to write code or was actually really passionate about it, because I was like, hey, I can build whatever I want. I don't need to go raise money or try to sell my idea to a developer. I mean, how many people who are developers, how many of your friends always come to you because they have an awesome new idea that they want you to build? So I think it's really, really important as a founder to have those, at least be able to build enough to where you could throw together a quick prototype that you could show to investors or bootstrap together something.
So this is not your full-time job. This is something that you do on the side. What advice do you have for people who want to do some code for good projects like that? Where can they start?
You can contribute time and code actually to various open source projects. I know a great website called Code Triage, and it's awesome. It has a bunch of open issues that you can contribute to. But as far as like a social good project or something like that, just finding something that you're really passionate about solving, either here in the US or abroad, and treating it like any other startup here. So using lean startup methods. And sometimes it's really hard doing that on an international scale or when you're working in other countries, but it's important to, keep those principles. There's a bunch of great hackathons I know here in Denver, and I'm sure in all of the major cities, that where you can go and write code for a day and really contribute to your city and your government. Also, women who code in San Francisco at the headquarters last year did an awesome Hack for Change event where they wrote code all weekend and it benefited women around the world through various projects. So organizing things like that would be really cool.
So I'd like to move on to rapid fire or fill in the blanks. Are you ready?
Yes.
Number one, worst advice I've ever received is?
That I should be a secretary, not a programmer.
Did you punch him in the face?
No, I didn't punch the person in the face. I was just clearly very offended and said that was definitely not an appropriate thing to say. It was in a different country, so I wanted to be aware of cultural differences, but I just, got up and walked away.
Number two, my first app was about?
My first app was a dog park finder that was my breakable toy while I was an apprentice at Thoughtbot. It was, the time where I really learned that it was something I was passionate about and that I wanted to continue doing.
Number three, one thing I wish I knew when I first started to code is?
Is that it was going to be really, really hard.
Oh, that's a really, really good one.
Yeah, and I think it's great. I do think that everyone who is passionate about it can do it, but just being aware that it is a really, really, a lot of hard work and you're going to fail all the time, be uncomfortable all the time. So just keeping that in mind.
And sometimes when you're that frustrated, it's best to just walk away.
Yeah, yeah. I can't count on one hand how many times I've been super frustrated and just went to bed or walked away for 10 minutes and came back and was like, oh, that's the answer.
Okay, so I believe you have some shout outs for us.
Yes, I do. So for those of you out there who are trying to learn Ruby and get into programming, I definitely recommend some awesome online resources that were helpful to me when I was learning. One of them is Wise Poignant Guide to Ruby, And I will be sending all of these links out in the show notes so you can look at these. Also, Thoughtbot's Upcase, which used to be the Learn program. Awesome videos, awesome tutorials, and mentorship available. Also, Michael Hartl's Learn to Program tutorial that you can do online for free. That's specifically for Rails. And then for a more general introduction to programming, I really recommend Chris Pine's Learn to Program book.
So my first shout out is ConFreaks, which is a great resource that has tons of talks from conferences all over the world. They have talks from RailsConf, JSConf, Garuko, and a bunch of others. And talks are great to watch, not just as inspiration for that talk that you're definitely going to submit, but it's also a really great primer. If you're ever interested in a tech topic and you don't know where to start, watching a tech talk like an intro to SOA or an intro to testing or whatever the topic is a really great way to start. The second is more of an inspirational video that one of our CodeNewbie regulars, Carla, actually pointed us to. It's called Advice and Crap for Young Creators. It's by Travis Nielsen, who has a YouTube channel called Dev Tips, and he does a lot of dev how-to programming things. And this one's way more just personal, inspirational. It has some career advice, some kind of life advice on how you should approach your new tech career. And it's just really, really beautiful and touched me in a very awesome way, and I wanted to share that with you. And the final shout out I have is one called Over API, and it's essentially a cheat sheet for everything. And I want to thank Russell for pointing that out to us. It has a cheat sheet for Git, Ruby, jQuery, SQL, pretty much everything that you can think of. If you want to look at, you know, what methods are being used and how to do certain things, it's a really, really beautifully formatted way that links to the documentation from each of those, you know, languages or frameworks or whatever it is. So definitely check that out as a starting point for looking up anything relating to a bunch of different languages. If you want to join the conversation, you can chat with us every week on the CodeNewbie Twitter chat. Just search for hashtag CodeNewbie and tweet with us every Wednesday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. For more info on today's episode, including the shoutouts and resources we talked about, go to codenewbie.org/podcast. If there's a topic you want to hear about, a guest you want to hear from, or if you're interested in sponsoring the podcast, send us an email, hello@codenewbie.org. And that's all we got for the CodeNewbie podcast. Kinsey, thank you so much for joining us. You want to say bye?
Thank you so much for having me. This is so awesome.
And thanks so much for listening. See you next week.